Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
All right, everyone, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We are continuing our Lenten series. I pray that everyone is enjoying Lent. If you're not enjoying Lent, you're probably not fasting, the first thing. Second thing is you're probably not praying, because if you're fasting without praying, then it stinks, okay? You're just on a really bad diet, okay? So it's important that you... This is a season in the year that the church says, we're going to give you a season. It's the most intense. The weather's not great outside. There's nothing to eat. There's no celebrate. Let's just give all we have. Clear your mind, your heart, your life of all the distractions. And give this season to God. This is the time in which the Lord is taking a journey to the cross for you. He's taking a journey to the cross for you. The least you could do is respond to that love and respond to that salvation that He invited you to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today, we're going through our series called Life of the Beloved. It's a book written by a Catholic priest named Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen is amazing. He explored the spirituality of the desert. He has a beautiful book called The Way of the Heart, talking about what the desert fathers, the Coptic desert fathers, were able to discover. He's an amazing, he's a brilliant man. He was a professor at Yale. He's a very, very brilliant man, and he left all of that to go live among the handicapped and the disabled, and he lived the rest of his life serving them until he died. Very, very amazing man. So you can imagine the love that is poured out of somebody who's writing, living a life for Jesus in that way. So I encourage you to get the book. So last few weeks, a couple weeks ago, we talked about our chosenness, how everyone has been chosen by God. God chose you individually, and you have your own chosenness, and the person next to you is also chosen in their own unique way. I believe Abuna Elijah spoke to you guys about being our blessedness. And it's following a theme, and the theme is what we see in the liturgy, is that He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and then He gave it. That Eucharist that is taking, the bread that He took and blessed and broke, is Himself. Something we have to understand about there's a theology of brokenness. Today we're going to talk about brokenness. The church has a theology of brokenness. What is that? We know that the number one person that entered into our brokenness is Christ. Not just He came and He was hungry like us and He walked and He, you know, got cuts on His feet when He walked in the sand. No, no. The brokenness I'm talking about is that Christ experienced the deepest pain that our human existence could experience. From betrayal by a friend, Judas, and Peter, who denied Him, to being mocked, to being rejected by His own. Christ experienced, on top of that, I mean, we can't forget His physical suffering, His emotional anguish of losing loved ones. He experienced losing Lazarus and other people in His life that had died. He lost a father. He lost Joseph at a young age. He went through so many things. He was a refugee. He experienced being a refugee. He had to leave Israel and Bethlehem and go to Egypt, live in a foreign land. He experienced, so maybe if you immigrated to the States from God knows where, and you're like, God, I wonder if God has any idea how bad this is and how hard we are trying to figure out our way in this country. Jesus says, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. Jesus has entered into our brokenness. And because Jesus took all types of brokenness into Himself, He experienced it all, that when God took this into Himself, He blessed it. That now your brokenness has been touched or has been felt by the Lord Jesus Himself. So anything that Christ took in Himself, He blessed it and He turned it into something. That's what we're going to try to understand this morning. Your brokenness tells us something about who you are. Your brokenness is a lot of your heartbreak, feelings of abandonment, feelings of rejection, feelings of heartbreak and feeling that people didn't love you, feelings of loneliness. Have you felt these things? Feelings of insecurity, that you're not good enough and that you'll never be good enough. Feelings of failure. And because of these things, you've lost a loved one. You lost, maybe you went through a broken marriage. And you're broken because of it. And because of that, what we have to do is we have to understand how to deal with our brokenness. You see, our brokenness reveals something about who we are. The brokenness in you is part of your personal beauty and uniqueness. You see, everybody has a different makeup. Me dealing with a loss, with the experiences of my life, is different than you dealing with the same loss. Maybe I lost a spouse, you lost a spouse. But your life, like formation and experiences and the way you dealt with your parents and the friendships that are around you and the financial status that you have and the spiritual connection that you have, that we can't just say we have the same brokenness because we both lost something. I have my own unique brokenness that sometimes, like when they bring somebody, say, you know, hey, Father Paul, I really want you to talk to this person. And I say, okay, what's their story? And they say, oh, they came from this background. Maybe they were abandoned. They were orphaned. They were whatever. And that tells me so much about who they are. Not to judge them, not to say, oh, they're messed up, but to know there is some pain in them, that they've gone through some experiences, that they have a unique brokenness. I'm telling you, I've seen this in so many people that have come to me in the middle of their brokenness, and as I begin to see God forming and working in them, their brokenness is the most beautiful thing about them, because it's what shaped them to be who they are. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So knowing the hurtful experiences that you've gone through can tell me a lot about who you are. One of the biggest things that people bond over is brokenness. I remember I had two young people. They're getting to know each other in that, you know, season of life. And they said, yeah, we spoke for hours about all the miserable things that happened to us, and we bonded so much, and like, we just feel so connected. I'm like, I don't know if that's the best way to build your connection of the miserable, you know, experiences that you've had in your life, but it just took one, like, you know, guy getting to know a young girl, and they're all sharing about their pains in their life in one date, and they were in love, right? Because there's something so deep about sharing in your brokenness. It's where we're most needy and vulnerable that we most experience our brokenness. Today is the Feast of the Ascension. We celebrated that today. But it's also which Sunday in Lent? Samaritan Sunday. What is the brokenness of the Samaritan woman? If you guys could just read the story. A woman, she's got five husbands. The one she's living with is not her husband. She's coming to the well in the hottest part of the day at noon. Why would anyone in the right mind do that? Okay, to go carry a bucket of water, God knows how far. What is her brokenness? Her brokenness is that she's starving for love. She's chasing love. First guy thought maybe she could get it. Didn't work out. Second guy. Third guy. Fourth guy, you're like, wow, that's a bad story. No, there's more. Fifth guy. And she's working on her sixth. Is that a broken person? In our society, we step back and we say, this woman is a wild woman. She's a wild woman. Boy crazy and chasing after men. She's one of these crazy women. This is a woman, she's so broken. She's starving for love. Her most needy part within her is that she lacks love. That she feels unloved. That she feels unnoticed. That she feels that she has to chase and give her body to anybody to purchase their love in order to discover that it wasn't love. As I talk about this, and I start mentioning these words of being unloved, of feeling lonely, of insecurities, I want you to identify with what is your own brokenness. Maybe you were brokenhearted from somebody who rejected you or abandoned you. Maybe a parent. maybe a spouse, maybe a crush when you were young, maybe a best friend that moved to, whatever it might be. All of us, part of your humanity is brokenness. I'm going to go back to the slide. Look at this quote I found. It says, to be human is to be broken, and broken is its own kind of beautiful. Henry Nouwen, while working with the handicapped, the developmentally disabled, he said, believe it or not, their brokenness wasn't from their handicaps, being unable to speak or to walk or to understand. He says their brokenness is from feeling useless, worthless, having no value. He said it wasn't their handicap, even though they're handicapped, but it was that society had kind of just put them in a place where it says these people are useless. So he said, as I was living among these people, I was discovering this deep brokenness, and it was the most painful, hurtful thing to witness. Mother Teresa said this. She says, being unwanted and unloved, uncared for, forgotten by everybody, I think that this is a much greater hunger, a much greater poverty than the person who has nothing to eat. Mother Teresa served the most poor people, suffering the worst suffering that you could imagine. And she went to Italy to go meet the Pope. And so she went to the Vatican, and she met with the Pope, and then they were staying in like a little resident house. And she went, and so as she walked on the street, she said, the poverty here is way worse than what we have in Calcutta. And the nun said, why, Mother, do you say that? She said, I see the worst type of poverty, which is loneliness. We live in a lonely society. Maybe today you feel lonely. Believe it or not, the person that could be surrounded with all kinds of people and they're the center of attention and they tell jokes and everybody loves them and they have a beautiful sense of humor, all that could be an escape. It's an escape from a real what? Loneliness. It looks, it's a facade, it's this outside appearance that somebody is filled, but in reality, they're lonely. So then when you hear that, you're like, wait, I'm kind of like that guy. I wonder what kind of brokenness I have. I wonder what type of void I am trying to fill within me because of my own brokenness. What is it that you are doing? And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I'm not even going to mention. We'll wait till we get there. Henry Nouwen says, we can talk about more or less suffering when we interact with people. But in the final analysis, your pain and my pain are so deeply personal that comparing them can bring scarcely any consolation or comfort. You know, when two people who have suffering or dealing with something, they say, you know what I'm going through? Say, you think that's bad? You ever meet that person? Most annoying person on the planet? You're like, you think you have it bad? I hate those people, okay? Forgive me. May God heal my heart of that hatred. That like, you think you have it bad? Well, I got... It doesn't matter. Nothing will I appreciate more, and Henry Nouwen talks about this, than somebody that says, you're right. That is a hard experience to go through. You could have a much worse existence, but to identify that somebody's brokenness is very hard and it's very unique to themselves with their own capacities and their own circumstances, that you can't just, nothing will mean more to people in their brokenness than you just saying, that is very hard. That you feel like somebody validates your pain. Our brokenness is often experienced in our sexuality. In our sexuality, we're longing for human touch, embrace, oneness, private connection, that I've been chosen, that two people who are intimate, a husband and wife, that you have chosen me to have this very sacred connection, that no one else can share with you except for me, that this is a very sacred connection. This sexuality of ours is an expression of a deep hunger within us for human touch, human embrace, and the safety that we feel from people. Believe it or not, even your human sexuality and its different expressions, you're even as simple as hugging a best friend, Even as some, as high, not just like when you, don't think of it just as like, you know, as sex, but even just being in the embrace of a best friend or a spouse or a parent, that beauty in the intimacy that is there is actually what we see in this like search for the healing of our brokenness. I lived in Kenya and we would get different grants from everywhere. It was a time during the AIDS epidemic. And it was spreading throughout all of Africa. There were some places in Africa that were 90% infected. 90% infected with HIV. It was terrible. And so we would go and we would educate people about AIDS and safe sex and all of these things and protection and abstinence. And we'd go around educating people throughout Kenya, no matter what you said. My hunger for love is more than my fear of death. So they're going around and sleeping around and spreading AIDS more, and it's a death sentence. And you know, you're going to die. We're trying to educate people. AIDS is not a joke. It is deadly. It is scary. There is no, it's terrible. You don't know who you're sleeping. You don't know who has it. So that should what? Freak you out. But they're saying what? The opposite. I would even die as long as I can have what? Embrace. Brokenness. You have it. You have your own brokenness, and it's hiding somewhere within you. So people who are desperate to find intimacy and communion, risking their lives for it, that's a sign. In order to deal with our brokenness, we're called to befriend our brokenness, to embrace it. You know, so many people, they're constantly running from their brokenness. They're trying to compensate somewhere else. Because I feel broken, or because I feel insecure, or I feel rejected, that I'm trying to go somewhere else and just to get some type of pleasure or acceptance or fulfillment, because I don't want to look at my brokenness. You find people who are lonely, they say, no, I hate to be around people. Like I'm just an introvert, I don't want to be around people. Some people are introverts. But some people are also escaping. I don't want to see people, lest I what? Become rejected. And you're like, oh, every day, oh, sorry, I have an errand to run. I'd love to hang out, but I can't. And I'd love to really connect, but you know, I have to go shopping, and I have to, you make up dumb excuses, like really? Like, you can't ever spend time? That person, whether you realize it or not, is escaping their brokenness. It's not like they just have more errands than the rest of us. They're escaping their brokenness. It might seem very unnatural to embrace your brokenness. We're going to talk about what it means. But your most spontaneous response to pain and suffering is just to avoid it, to keep it far away, to ignore it, to deny it. Most people try to run so far away from it, to ignore it, and they want to have nothing to do with it. But Christ tells us the things that come from our suffering and our pain. And I'm going to go through some of these verses that St. Paul teaches us. They're amazing things to say. When Christ took our brokenness in himself, he turned it into something. I was speaking to somebody recently who just witnessed, you know, who has a person with a very broken heart in their family. And the brokenness within that person has started to be the reason in which they're shining. Their heart was broken. There was, you know, just like a breaking of a connection or a bond or relationship. And the person in the beginning was devastated. And then all of a sudden, something is blossoming within this person. This person has begun to find themselves, to find a beauty within even their brokenness that makes them unique, that they are identifying and connecting with Christ even in their brokenness. Something so beautiful is when you find that Jesus is so close to me in my pain. Whenever I go to visit the sick, people suffering on the bed of cancer or whatever, it is in that time that in their brokenness, like they've been given a death sentence. Anybody, no matter what stage, as soon as you hear cancer, the first thing you think is, am I going to die? Regardless of what stage it is. It could be just day one. Am I going to die? And you go and you look in the eyes of the doctor waiting to see, like, what is their facial expression? What are they trying to communicate to me? Are they just covering something up? Am I really going to? It's scary. But when you see this person in the walk of their brokenness, and when they embrace it, that person on the bed is experiencing something that maybe you and I will never experience. A closeness to the pain and suffering of Jesus, that they're experiencing Jesus in the pain. Every time you say, ouch, ay, Jesus is in that ay. Jesus is in that ouch. He's in it. He's not, because he took pain into himself. That's why, you know, some denominations in Christianity, usually Western Christianity, they focus on like just the cross and the resurrection. What's beautiful about our Orthodox life is that today we're celebrating the Annunciation. We are saying, even just when his birth was announced that he was going to be born, that I'm going to enter, that Christ even was a thought, that he came into our existence. And then he was born as a baby, had a mommy, needed to wait for his mom to feed him or to fill him. Could you imagine that all of these things, he's saying, I took it into myself, so that when you enter into this pain, you're going to find me in it. So then you say what? Well, let me befriend it. Let me cling on to it. Let me find something beautiful in this pain or suffering. The first step to healing your brokenness has to be embracing it, not running away from it. James 1, 2 to 4 says this, my brethren. We read this and we're part of the church and we get it. It's a nice verse. It's probably highlighted in your verse. You don't get it. You don't get it. Read it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Could you imagine like some non-believers hanging out with some Christians? Some Christian comes home, tells his wife, you know, honey, I lost my job today. Yes! Good! Thank God! You're like, the non-believer, what's wrong with you? Crazy people. You're like, honey, I heard that, you know, I figured out that I've been diagnosed with something. Yes! You're going to experience Christ. You're going to know him. You're going to endure his suffering. Anybody who reads these words, that's why this is the most powerful. These are the most powerful words on the planet. You want somebody to believe in Christianity? Give them these words. What kind of crazy people rejoice in their trials? They find joy when they fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There was a season in our life where my mother-in-law, she was suffering from dementia and aphasia. So her mind wasn't fully there, and she couldn't speak. So even when it was kind of there, she couldn't communicate. So she couldn't speak, and she couldn't. And she came, and for a reason, to give, you know, my father-in-law a little bit of just like a break and give him some just rest, because it's a very, very difficult thing to do. She came and she lived with us, and we were suffering. We're like, this is so hard. She would like walk around at night. One time we had a little baby. She picked him out of the she doesn't know what she picked the baby up out of the crib, and we had a townhouse. She's walking around and could have dropped down the stairs. Like, that was a very scary thing. So like, okay, we can't sleep now. Okay, what if she walks out of the door? She's maybe walking on the streets. God knows. She needed a lot of personal care. It was a very, very painful time. Imagine the tension in the marriage and like, you know, well, you left me another day. You're out serving and I'm here. Or, okay, go take a break and I'll just stay here. And imagine the tension and the kid. It's painful. Little by little, she breaks something. Ah! After a while, I was like, oh, it's okay. No big deal. Something happened. No big deal. Until something started to change in us. Something became very sweet in us accepting this cross. That for several months it was painful. After that, it became a joy to come home to speak to her and to try to just get a reaction out of her and hold her hand and to walk her outside in the spring weather. That it was no longer she's in the way, we embraced it. And we started to find that it was like, after a while, she went back home. And in that time, we missed her so much. We realized that was one of the most special times in our home. That the pain was turned into one of the greatest joys. You're like, but what was nice about? Why do you miss her? She can't talk. She can't understand. She can't go to the bathroom by herself. She can't feed herself. She can't, like, what is it that you enjoy? The beauty in just experiencing Jesus in that care. He was with us. And the anger started to turn into simplicity and gentleness. And start to feel like something changed. So that when you do get a trial, you count it all joy. Because I'm angry today. And I'm in pain today. But there's going to be some sweetness coming out of me later. There's going to be some gentleness working in my heart. Anybody have teenagers? It's coming. Yes, teenagers. Everybody wants to have teenagers. Okay. Embrace it. I'm speaking to yours truly. Embrace it. When they're adults, remember that day I wanted to kill you, Hassan? Remember that day I wanted to hang you upside down? Those were good days. Embrace it. You can even see the transformation taking people who have maybe older than teenagers. You've seen a transformation take place in your child or a friend that you saw, maybe a sibling that started to get through like a funny phase. There's something beautiful in that process of pain. Look at this this vase. It's a beautiful vase. It's a Japanese art. It's called kintsugi. It's the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with gold. So they have pottery that is broken, like a pot that is broken. And the way that they would repair it is that they would mend it with stripes of gold so that it wasn't just a black pot. Look at this pot. It's not just a black pot, but it's got cracks of gold all the way through it. And that now when you look at this pot, there is something so beautiful about this pot that if it was just a plain black pot with no other gold cracks in it, you would say, it's nice. There's nothing special about it. What makes it so beautiful is that it's even more beautiful than before because of the gold cracks. Brokenness is a reality, but brokenness is not the end of the story. Brokenness has so much more that this is what your life should look like. Somebody was telling me she was in a very aggressive marriage. One time her husband took a mug, broke it on her head. She has a big scar on her head. And as she went to a doctor, and the doctor said, hey, you know, I can really fix that. We have this treatment and there's laser. And she said, no, don't touch it. He's like, I can make it like the way it was. She said, no, this is the most beautiful thing in my face. The doctor said, what do you mean? Said, this scar, she told the story, came from a very, very broken time in my life, in my marriage. And now I look to where I am today, and I look and I say, that broken piece is what made me who I am. She's a strong woman, an independent woman, an able woman, a woman who has conquered so much and has raised her children alone, has done so much that now when she looks at this, you say, that is a beautiful scar. That is a very pretty scar on your face, lady. Why? Because it means so much. Are you willing to accept your brokenness? Chances are, some of us don't know it because you are skilled in the art of escaping it. You know how to distract yourself every time you feel a little bit of loneliness or rejection or pain or I don't like my situation or I wish I had some other situation. As soon as you do it, you escape to whatever. Going out, to friendships, to shopping, to whatever. And you're running. Listen to what he says. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, joy produces something in you. St. Paul, whenever he talks about suffering, I want you to notice this as we are reading the Pauline epistles. Go back if you pass some of them. Some of them were in Romans. A couple of them were in Romans. Every time St. Paul talks about suffering, he links it with joy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's look at this passage here. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. In befriending our brokenness, we need guidance. Look at what happens. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. The Bible says that St. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. That's why you see the image. St. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it is. Some people say that he had pus coming out of his eyes, oozing out of his eyes. And that's why they said what large letters he wrote to us as church. They mean like large letters, like he wrote big letters because he couldn't see very well. I want you to imagine I have pus oozing out of my eyes all the time, and now I come up here on Sunday in Light and Life, like, I'm like, God, like, if there's anything, like, I have stuff coming out of my eyes in front of my whole congregation. That's really embarrassing. Would you want to listen to the preacher of somebody that has stuff coming out of their eyes? He says, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might remove it from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, crazy people, these Christians, they're nuts. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, my sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with these crazy people? There is a secret in our faith. You have a secret power in your faith you're not going to find anywhere else. That when you realize that you're weak, the power of Christ starts to manifest through you. St. Paul, he wasn't a great preacher, by the way. There's parts where we found people fell asleep in his sermon, fell out of a window and died, right? Like, he wasn't like a great preacher. You think because he preached to the whole world that God got, like, you know, this very charismatic person. He was not that person. He was, you know, his personality, if you study personalities, he's direct. He's a very direct, like, blunt person. You know, he's St. Paul. Many of you read his epistles, you're like, what is this? I don't understand any of this stuff. You're like what changed the world from this? St. Paul could discover that in his nothingness, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When you can embrace your brokenness, then you can say, all right, Lord, now you have to work. It's no longer me. I'm not an eloquent person. Here I'm speaking to some of the most successful people in the world here in Washington, D.C. I'm not eloquent, but in my weakness, God can use anything. I'm not trained in this. I don't know what I'm doing. But that's even better. You know, when I like to go to missions, I like to go to missions wherever I don't know what is happening. So I go, why don't we go to, you know, Kenya? It's great. I'm like, I don't want to go to Kenya because they already know what they're doing. I don't want to go to a place where we have no idea what we're doing. You're like, Abuna Paul, why are you crazy? Because that's when you see the power of God. And I say, all right, Lord, we have no idea what we're doing. Show us the magic. Show us how you're going to work. Start changing lives and doing things. I witness things with my own eyes that I'm saying, I can't do that. I'm weak in this area. I'm insecure. I am whatever. I don't have good speech. I don't know how to connect. God is saying, perfect. You're hired for the job. Today, if you have some type of brokenness, God's saying, great, you're hired. Imagine St. Paul is the perfect Jew. He's the perfect Jew. And so when God called him to this, he said, he is going to witness between kings and rulers and Gentiles for my sake. And St. Paul's like, wait, Lord. Guess what? I'm a perfect Jew. Send me to the Jews. I got this. I know their law by heart. I know. I got it. God says, really? All right, you go to the Gentiles. God, I'm a Jew. We don't like Gentiles. Gentiles are stupid people. We are Jews. I got it. He says, perfect. You go to the Gentiles, you don't know anything about Gentiles. Go work. He would go, first place he would go, if you read the book of Acts, he'd go to a synagogue. He would preach, they would beat him up, he would go to the Gentiles, convert the Gentiles. Next place, go to the synagogue, they'd beat him up, he'd go to the Gentiles, convert the Gentiles. God is saying, when you're weak, you're strong. God can turn your most feared enemy into a friend. When you think about the Samaritan woman, when she met Jesus in her brokenness, and she surrendered that brokenness. She was escaping. You know what she was doing? She was doing this. Going to the well at the wrong time of the day. Okay? Jesus is telling her, I need something to thirst. She's talking about thirst or whatever. And she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. I'm starting to feel that you're a prophet. And then she says, okay, the Jews worship on this mountain, the Samaritans worship on this mountain. She's escaping. She started to talk about theology. Hey, lady, go get me your husband. Shut up and get me your husband. What does my husband have to do with this? God is saying, embrace your brokenness. We're going to talk about what you're doing. You have to face it. Stop running. It will never be healed until you say, Lord, I don't see any self-worth in myself. I'm not good. I'm addicted to something. I'm heartbroken. I've been rejected so many times. Can you just face it and say, this is me? This is me, and put it before God and say, Lord, transform it into something so beautiful. Stop running. Stop going around and fearing these things and say, okay, that's called, I've spoken about this several times, despondency. Is that when I feel a little bit of discomfort, I go somewhere else. Grass is always greener somewhere else. Stay here and face it. Here at St. Mark's, experienced some of the most painful experiences in my whole life. And in those broken moments, I see these gold lines in my own life. The cracks that were in me, I see gold lines. That came from that brokenness. And if it wasn't for that brokenness, I was just going through the motions and Sunday school and trips, and something happened in me in that time. Befriend it. But we need guidance. When you stand in your pain, you can grow strong from it, but you need someone to keep you standing in the pain. You need someone to keep you standing in the pain. Who in your life can tell you, it's okay, I'm here with you. Stop running. I'm here with you. We're going to get through this time. I know it's ugly, but let's just stand in the pain. Let's face the loss, the grief. Let's face the insecurities. Let's start opening. I don't want to go to counseling. I don't want to talk about all my baggage. And I don't want to go to counseling and do this stuff. I hate that stuff. You know why? Because you don't want to stand in the pain. Do you have someone in your life? Or are you someone that God has put in someone else's life to hold them in their pain? To say, stop running. There's two things you can do. If you have a limb, an arm, a leg with an infection, you can cut it off and make the pain go away. Or you can treat it and bring it back to life again. The worst option is to cut it off. The best option is to say, let's treat it. You're going to have to do some antibiotics. You're going to have to do some changes to your diet. You're going to have to make a lot. It's painful. But imagine if you have your leg restored again. Stop trying to cut it off. Stop trying to escape the pain. Your pain is what makes you so beautiful. The Samaritan woman will forever be one of the most amazing people in all of God's creation because of her brokenness. She was just a nice lady who had a perfect life. There would be no Samaritan woman. There would be no, I have seen souls, hundreds of souls convert from Samaritan woman's story. Beautiful, because of her brokenness. Real care is leading others in their brokenness to make it into the gateway of joy. Somebody who stays in their brokenness and faces it, like the Samaritan woman, when the Samaritan woman was able to say, yeah, you're right, I have no husband. Next thing is bring your brokenness under blessing. It goes along the same lines. Romans 5, 4 to 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit was given to us. What does it mean? Your brokenness can be your curse. You say, see, I knew that's why I'm afraid of hanging out with people because I got rejected again. I deserve it. That's because I'm broken. You can make your brokenness your curse, or you can make it your blessing. If you have brokenness, you say, Lord, you're going to do something beautiful through this brokenness. Maybe you had a home, you didn't have a loving parents, or you were abused, or you got into drugs, or you whatever it is that happened to your life. It's a beautiful thing when you bring it into blessing. You say, I can use this now to shine for Jesus. I need former drug addicts in the church. I need them. I have a great mission for them. I need former sex addicts. I have a great mission for them. I need people that are sensitive to the handicapped. I have a great need for them in the kingdom of God. God needs you in your brokenness so that your brokenness can be used as a blessing. There's some lady, I hate the title, but she, I don't know, she or whatever, she identifies as the ugliest woman in the world. And they have these YouTube videos, and she's like very skinny, and she doesn't feel like she calls herself the ugliest woman in the world. And she goes now all over the world preaching about self-worth. Imagine, she claims that she's the ugliest woman in the world, and she's going around inspiring women about their self-worth. Another preacher, he has no limbs, no arms, no legs, goes around through the whole world, uses that brokenness as a blessing, not a curse. Your brokenness is not a curse, it is a blessing. So imagine you have a preacher sitting on a table, no arms, no legs, and he's preaching in front of tens of thousands. Muslim countries, and like, amazing. Henry Nouwen says this, when you listen to the voice calling us the beloved, it becomes possible to live our brokenness, not as a confirmation of our fear that we are worthless, but as an opportunity to purify and deepen the blessing that rests upon us. He's saying your brokenness is a source of blessing to purify and deepen your blessing. Last thing. The beloved experience, the beloved of God, people that are beloved, we've been talking about being beloved, experience suffering as a way to deeper the communion for which they yearn with Christ. When you discover you have a need and you're hungry for it and you come to Christ, you have a yearning, it's so much more beautiful than I have everything. And you just say, hey, Jesus, how's it going? Hope you're doing okay over there in heaven. I'm all right. Versus, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I'm broken in this area. That yearning will create the biggest love relationship between you and Jesus, especially when he fulfills those desires. I pray that we would turn our brokenness into blessing as sources of joy. Glory be to God forever.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.